Peter Godfrey.
Phone 8223-0000.
Interactive Radio. 1395 Adelaide's 5AA.
Adelaide's 5AA, 20 minutes past 5. Just quickly before we catch up with Sarah Manning, I mentioned an email before that came through from Gina in Phoenix, Arizona, about the Arizona State Fair, and she mentioned the weird food they have there, deep fried butter on a stick and now maggot melt, which doesn't sound particularly nice. Gina just rang, just quickly. She only had a minute before her phone credit rang out, but just rang to say it's true. That's what they have there. They've got it there, deep fried butter on a stick and maggot melt. Lovely stuff. We're missing that. Oh, there's another email just come through saying, not joking. It's true. They have weird food there. So fantastic stuff. I'm sure they haven't got weird food across in New Zealand, though. Selwyn Manning joins us from there. Hi, Selwyn.
Yeah, g'day, Peter. I think the only thing we've got across here is hoo-hoo grubs, which is like your witchetta grubs, is it?
Witchetta grubs, yeah.
But similar to that, and we have a wild food festival down in the South Island. Maybe there's...
Oh, okay, well, they're probably all right, and, you know, our witchetty grubs are good, but maggot melt, that doesn't work.
Surely it can't be fly maggots. It must be something else.
I don't know,
more palatable.
Yeah, maybe their maggots are different to our maggots over in Arizona. Yeah. We'll have a chat to Gina one night and find out more about that, I think. It could be fascinating.
That'd be a good one to record.
Absolutely. Now, the Rena oil spill saga, we get lots of discussions happening, you know, right across the day on this. It's going on. What's happening? You know.
More of the worst. You know, the oil spill in the first instance, the oil spill is kind of reaching around the East Cape area, and that's about 130 kilometres away from where this tragedy has kind of been playing out on the Astrolab Reef just off Tauranga. So, you know, the problem is continuing on. At one point, the government was saying that the oil, you know, the last week of the oil had been heading out to sea, but it's clearly not all the case. You know, the tides have obviously pulled it back in toward the land. But as far as the ship is concerned, there's been efforts by salvors to get the remaining oil off the ship before it actually spills into the ocean. Those efforts have been in part successful and in part not successful. There's still a lot of oil, like 1,300 tons or metric tons of oil on the ship at the moment, and that is attempts are trying to get that pumped out, but things have been getting much more dangerous on the ship by the hour, really. For example, the big crack right down the middle of the ship, going a vertical crack, this is, was indicating, you know, that the ship was basically dying on the reef. It was breaking up. That hasn't pulled apart as yet, but there's also now a kink in the stern area, and also at the bow there's a great big crack right up both sides there too. So it does sound like it's going to, you know, fall apart, to put it quite simply.
Who are the people on board? Are they Kiwis there to do that, or are they representatives of the company, with the shipping company? Who are they?
They're salvors that have gone in, they're contractors.
Okay.
And you know, where the bill's going to be picked up is obviously a hot topic here in New Zealand. At one stage, New Zealand law does suggest that it looks like it's only got a, you know, very small cap, really, money where it can actually seek remedy or compensation from the owners of the ships. But even then, there's an argument where who is responsible, the owners of the actual ship or the company that has chartered the ship to take the freight along. Now, the chartered company says, oh, no, we're not responsible for this. We just simply chartered the ship, put the containers on, and we're, you know, doing our job. The owners of the ship, those who are steering the ship and in charge of the ship, they're the ones who are responsible for it. So there's all sorts of things to actually go from here. Getting back to the ecology, Peter, you know, that's the main concern. And certainly with the containers, there's quite a few still on board, all on precarious angles. Some, like we mentioned last week, had gone into the sea. They're washed up on beaches and islands all around that area. One of the issues that is really, really, really disturbing in this, for Kiwis in particular, is that you know, strange things come out of the woodwork when these kind of things happen. You start to realise things that no one really kind of had paid much attention to. And apparently there's been thousands of metric tons of uranium, mainly South Australian uranium.
Sorry about that.
that has been shipped out of South Australia and coming into the New Zealand ports on the Pacific side. So that's down in Lyttelton near Christchurch. Napier Port by the Hawke's Bay on the east coast of the North Island, and certainly Tauranga, where in that port where the Rena spill has occurred. Now, what this Rena spill, the oil spill, has raised is how safe and how prepared is New Zealand for spills and accidents on our coastline and certainly in the deep sea.
Right. Are there any suggestions that the Rena had any uranium on board?
We're told no, it didn't, and that was obviously a relief. But what it has done is raised this whole issue of a lot of Kiwis didn't even know uranium was coming into the country. Remember, New Zealand's got nuclear-free legislation. Now, that nuclear-free legislation refers specifically to nuclear weapons, so no vessel carrying nuclear weapons can come into New Zealand. Now, uranium clearly is not, yellow cake is clearly not going to be in breach of that law. But as far as the convention here and really the Kiwi culture of this, you know, embracing this nuclear-free kind of ethos, it kind of grates against that. And so there have been many, I think, that seem to be looking at the current government that has allowed this to take place and starting to actually raise an eyebrow and saying, hey, this isn't the way. I mean, it's an interesting one. I wonder what your listeners think of this, you know, because uranium, you know, coming from Australia, I mean, you guys are really familiar with it and the processes and what, you know, the benefits it's bringing back to Australia. Maybe some of your listeners think that we Kiwis are a bit precious on this. That maybe, you know, we need to get real. It'll be interesting to see there. I mean, certainly from the New Zealand side of the ledger, we kind of think, okay, we've got X-ray machines, we've got cobalt, you know, and there's certainly radioactive stuff here in New Zealand. But as far as having uranium that is being shipped across the Pacific to the United States, that's another kettle of fish. And in some ways, and even myself was arguing the point yesterday that what it does do is it embeds New Zealand into the nuclear weapons and nuclear energy kind of community around the globe, and that's something that New Zealand's always tried to resist.
Yeah. Interesting. I might pose that question tomorrow night and see if we can get some comment on that. That certainly would be an interesting one to pose about that. Let's move on to rugby league. It's the World Cup coming to an end. Sadly, the final won't include the Wallabies, but the All Blacks will be there with France Sunday night.
Yes, that's right.
A fierce so battle.
The Wallabies get to play tomorrow night, just quickly, in the bronze final. They're playing against Wales, yeah. So that's at 8:30 p.m. Tomorrow night, New Zealand time. So take it 2.5 hours off that.
6 hour time, yep.
And then, yep, the grand final is Australia.
Yeah, we wished.
New Zealand All Blacks versus France. And, New Zealand All Blacks, I've got to say, even if I peeled the Kiwi kind of veneer off, you know, it's looking pretty impressive. But the French team is that unpredictable team in rugby circles. And, certainly the All Blacks are not kind of thinking, we got this in the bag. Many of the commentators are saying they have. But there's always that air of caution in New Zealand. And we've been against France a number of times, certainly in the finals in 1987, New Zealand won, but that was here in New Zealand too. So people are hoping that there's a bit of deja vu, a bit of a repeat of history on this one, Peter.
We shall wait and see. So, and it's going to be an interesting weekend. Thanks for your details tonight. We'll talk to you again next week.
Okay, Peter. Take care.
Thanks. Bye. Selwyn Manning, co-editor of scoop.co.nz, an online news publication in New Zealand. It is 28 minutes past 5.